You're listening to the Mission 6-8 podcast. For more info, visit mission68.org.
Hey, we're going to be continuing in our series, Living the Gospel, in just a minute, but I think I need to just spend a little bit of a family time with you. Every once in a while we do this where we just kind of, hey, just kind of heart to heart have a little family time. And there's just something I need to talk to you about, something that I need to ask of you. If you look around this room, it's getting very, very full. It's actually more full last week. And in the 10:30 service, we have something like 1,500 seats in here. And the 10:30 service, there was a total of 10 seats, I think, available throughout the whole thing, which means when new families come in to hear about Jesus, they're told, hey, you can't sit together as a family. You know, Johnny can sit over there, and Mom can sit over there, and Dad can sit over there. And so, I mean, we just have a heart for this community. We want to have more people come to know about Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to be a missionary to this community and to think of yourself as, you know, being here as an opportunity to be able to share the gospel of Jesus with others and to invite people into the body of Christ. And one way that you can do that is if you would please consider making the 11:59 service your service time. And I know that's a sacrifice, and I know that's a change. I would ask you to do that, because we're a church that loves to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And we really have a heart for this community. We really want to have mercy on people who need to come and hear about Jesus. And so please hear this, though. If you can't, please don't feel any guilt. And this isn't a shame message, okay? If you come here at 9 and 10, I'm going to be here at 9 and 10:30 too, okay? So, and my wife's going to be sitting right there. And so if we're taking a couple seats. Don't ever feel guilty about that. We understand for some of you, that's just not possible. It doesn't fit into your schedule, your kid's schedule. We get it. That's okay. But if it is possible for you, that would really, really help us, okay? All right. Good. I got Gary West and me. Good. Yes. All right. Think about it. Pray about it. Okay, now, with that, let's continue on in our series, Living the Gospel. We're in Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, and here's what I need to do. Rather than turning to Colossians right now, I want you to just go to Genesis, because before, what we're going to talk about today when we hit Colossians chapter 3 is God's design for the family. And I just know this. If I just launch right into this, I'm going to immediately lose about half the people in the room. And so what I need to do first is I need to lay a biblical foundation for this thing called order and authority. A biblical foundation for God's design and his order. And those are two words like that we immediately, when you hear them, you just kind of go, like you're like, no one's like, order and authority. Yes, sign me up for that, right? And we just kind of want to rebel against those two things. It's part of our flesh. And I guess to be clear, we sort of have a love-hate relationship with order and authority. Like, we love it in other people. Like when our kids recognize our authority and they submit to us, we're like, well done, and we reward them for that, right? When the governing authorities exercise their authority and they catch the bad guy and your neighborhood is safer, it's like, yes, yes, that's great. We applaud that because we want safer neighborhoods. The point at which we struggle with submission to authority is the point at which we have to submit personally, right? That's the problem. Like when you were growing up, you rebelled against your parents' authority over you. You didn't care at all that your parents had an authority over them that they needed to submit to. You never came home, you know, from high school and like, Dad, it's just not right that you have to obey your boss. Like, that's just the man keeping you down, Dad. You just got to stop. You didn't care, right? You rebelled against the level at which you needed to. It's what I did, right? And things haven't changed much. We still rebel at the point at which we need to submit to authority. And just the fact is God has created this universe and created everything that he made. He created with a clear order and authority. And when we submit to his design, it goes well for us. When we redefine it and change it and come up with our own thing and reject God's design, it doesn't go well for us. And so we're going to see that in scripture today. I want you to know for the next 10 or 15 minutes, I am shamelessly setting you up for a point, okay? But I'm going to be doing it in biblical truth. We need to take a little bit of a journey understanding order and authority. So Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. There is order and authority within the Godhead. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image. This is a conversation happening within the Godhead. It's not God speaking to angelic beings. We're not made in the image of angelic beings. We're made in the image of God. This is God having a conversation within the Godhead. The truth is, God is he is one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I know that's the mystery of the Trinity. I don't have time to fully unpack that today, but let me just say that it has been the temptation of mankind for centuries upon centuries to try to reduce God down to something a little bit more like us, a little bit more simpler to understand. And for centuries, there has been one heretical group after another developed in order to minimize God down into something that we can put in this little box and clearly understand. And that's just heresy. And God's not one of us, right? His ways are infinitely higher than our ways. His thoughts are infinitely higher than our thoughts. His being is so glorious that if we saw it, we would die, right? So we shouldn't expect God to be exactly like us. If you've created a God that is something that you can clearly understand in his being, go, it's just like Fred, then you've created an idol, right? Now, the Lord our God is one God. There is a oneness in the Trinity, right? The Shema, it's all throughout the Old Testament. The Lord our God is one God. There is this unity, this perfect unity in the Godhead. So Jesus says, I and the Father are one. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There is a perfect unity of oneness within the Trinity. And so one person inside the Trinity is not superior to the other. But even within the being of God, even within the Godhead, there is clear order and authority. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but even within the being of God, there is clear order and authority. For instance, Jesus was not free to do whatever he wanted to do. He submitted to the will of the Father, right? So it says this in John. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus wasn't free to do whatever he wanted to do. He was submissive to the authority of the Father, the will of the Father. So on the night on which he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, you know, let this cup pass from me, as he thought about the agony of what was about to come at the cross, he finished that thought with what? Not my will, but your will be done, right? Your will be done. Jesus was submissive to the will of the Father. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is submissive to the will of the Son and of the Father. So, for instance, it says this in Scripture. It says, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit was not free to teach whatever, is not free to teach whatever he desires or to glorify whoever he desires. He submits to the will of the Son and of the Father. There is an order, though there's perfect oneness in the Trinity. There's within that oneness, there's clear order and authority. And we desperately need that order and authority within the Godhead. If that order or authority at any point would have been broken, it would not have gone well. Right? If Jesus would have not submitted to the will of the Father, we very well may not have the cross. And with no cross, there's no resurrection, no Good Friday, no Easter Sunday, no perfect payment for the sin of mankind, and no victorious resurrection if Jesus didn't submit to the will of the Father. We need the Holy Spirit to submit to the will of the Son and of the Father, because if the Holy Spirit decided to just glorify himself, then the very one given us to lead us into truth would be misguiding us with self-deceptive, self-glorifying lies. We desperately need submission to authority inside of the Godhead. And the irony is, that doesn't bother any of us. Like, none of us go, I don't think it's right that the Creator, you know, Jesus, should have to submit to the Father. That doesn't bother us all. What bothers us is that we have to submit, which would be comical if it wasn't so tragic that we're okay with the Creator submitting, but we think that we shouldn't. And it just goes to show you how deep Genesis 3 and the fall goes, right? How self-deceived we are. There is order within the Godhead, and there is clear order and authority in everything that God created. Everything that God created, there is order and authority. So, for instance, he creates humanity as the pinnacle of his creation. I have no idea. Was that like a... Okay, forget it. Do you know I'm easily distracted? Okay, so... help me. Okay. So he creates humanity, and we are to submit to the authority of God, right? I mean, that's pretty clear, but let's see it in Scripture. So Genesis chapter 2. He makes us, and we submit to the authority of God. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took a man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die." You have to submit. You're made man, but you must submit to the authority of God. And when you do, it will go well for you. When you don't, it won't. And this is all throughout Scripture. So if you go over to Deuteronomy, so four books over to your right, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Beginning in verse 15. I love this passage of Scripture. God says, "See, I set before you today," I'm in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Listen, God has a design, and we are to submit to his authority and his design. When we do, it will go well for us. When we don't, it won't. And the rest of biblical history is a living testimony to that, right? When the people of God cried out to God and wanted to obey him, they were taken out of Egyptian exile. When they grumbled against him, they died in the wilderness. When he brought them into the land and they decided to follow him with all their heart, he gave them that promised land. When they chose to worship idols, they were sent into Babylonian exile. It's just, God says, submit to my authority. When you do, it will go well for you. When you don't, it won't. And God has order and authority in everything he creates. Right? So mankind is given order and authority over the creations. Right? So back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 28 through 30. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God makes creation, right? And he says, humanity, you're submissive to the authority of God. And then creation, you're submissive to the authority of mankind. Now, it doesn't mean we're free to abuse that authority and to trash the planet and to abuse animals. We should care well for the creation, but there is clear order and authority within everything God made. And we see it all around us, right? In all of nature, we see that there's clear order and authority, and everybody gets it, right? Like, so if the zebras are at a watering hole, and they're just hanging out doing their zebra thing, right? And a lion comes charging after them, they understand the order really fast, right? They get, and if some punk zebra's like, "You know, I'm tired of running from these lions. Why? One of us has to stand up to them." That zebra becomes breakfast, right? That zebra has a cameo appearance on the Discovery Channel having his guts eaten out, because that's how it works, right? God has order and authority and a design. And when you choose to rebel against it, it does not go well. And I could go on and on. God has order and authority in everything he made. So he makes the temple for his people to worship him. And there's clear order and authority about who can approach him. And if you broke that order and authority, you died. God set up governing authorities. And Scripture tells us that we are to submit to the governing authorities. And if you rebel against that, you get tent village, right? You can go on. Everything that God made. And I think I've made my point, right? So listen. There is order and authority in the Godhead, and everything that he creates has a clear design, order, and authority. When we submit to it, it goes well. When we don't submit to it, it doesn't go well. So, when it comes to the basic unit of society, the family, right? It should be no surprise to us that God has a specific design. And within that design, there is order and authority. And I take all that time to set up that point because we live in a culture that desperately wants to redefine the family, that desperately wants to say God's design for the family is irrelevant, it's outdated, we have enlightened minds in a modern culture, and we have a better way of doing family. And so if you're a Christian living in this culture, you can begin to feel like a caveman if you stand up and say, wait a second, maybe the one who made us has a better plan for us than what we could come up with. Maybe we should take a page out of history and just remember that every time we come up with our own design and not God's design, it never goes well for us. Maybe we ought to just stop and consider that whatever our sinful, feeble, finite minds come up with as a design would not be as good as what God has laid out. If that's your approach, you're going to be pigeonholed as this Neanderthal because we live in a culture that does not want to submit to the authority of God. And so as your pastor, a pastor who loves you, a pastor who cares for you, I'm going to call you to submit to, for your good, God's design for your family. And every one of us is a part of a family, right? Unless you're like a clone, okay? Yeah, like, or a Martian or something. I don't know. Maybe Martians have families. But you have a family, okay? You're either a kid or you're a mom or dad or a husband or a wife. You have a family. God has a design for your family. And that design has clear order and authority. Now, Colossians chapter 3. Here we go. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18 of Colossians. Paul's talking about living the gospel. What does it look like? And he lays out the gospel-filled home. He says, this is what it looks like. Chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. And then Paul gives this exact same list in some more fuller detail in Ephesians chapter 5. And so I'm going to invite you to just turn over there to your left. This is going to be the last time you're going to turn today, but just follow along with me, okay? To your left, Ephesians, just a couple books over. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read this for you. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife and he loves as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay. This is God's design for the family. Christ is the head of your family. There's no other head. Christ is the head of your family. And husband and wife, you are one flesh and you're submitting to one another. But the husband is the head and the wife submits to the authority of her husband. And the children submit to the authority of their parents. This is God's good design for the family. And it has order and authority within it. And at some level, everybody submits. And if you're feeling really uncomfortable right now, I can pretty much guarantee it's at the point of which you're called to submit. And I know when I say this, when I read this passage, a lot of you want to write it off as cultural and ancient and doesn't relate. That's just kind of the culture that Paul's living in. It doesn't relate to modern culture. Here's the problem with that. The headship of the man in the relationship, in the marriage relationship, is rooted in creation. God created the man first, and then he makes, you read it for yourself, okay? I'm not making this stuff up, okay? He makes the woman as the man's helper. And then the fall in Genesis chapter 3, who sins first?
Adam.
Eve. Sorry, dude. But let me come around and make you be right anyway, okay? So here's the thing. Eve sins first, right? Eve sins first, and then she leads Adam into it. But who's held accountable for that sin? Yes, Adam is held accountable for that sin. God says, through Adam, all sin. Well, why is Adam held accountable, not Eve? It's because Adam has the biblical responsibility of headship in the relationship, and he was irresponsible with it. And the thing is, the headship of the man is not tied to any specific culture. It's rooted in the creative order of God. And so, no, men, before you start, okay, here, men, be the leaders God calls you to be. Be the leader God calls you to. Men, if you're just kind of like pushing off the leadership of your family off on your wife, you're not doing her any favors, right? You're asking her to take on a role that God didn't design her for. So men, you need to lead the home. And please don't hear, yes, I now have the biblical ammunition to go home and rain down on everybody and boss them around and tell them what to do. And honey, get me a beer as you change the diapers and make dinner while I watch SportsCenter. No. That's dictatorship. It's not biblical leadership. It's lazy. Here's what biblical leadership looks like. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Biblical leadership, men. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, you want to know what biblical leadership looks like in the home? Die to yourself. Die to yourself. And listen, I'm not up here saying I do that perfectly. It's one of the advantages of having my wife sitting every one of the services, right? Like yesterday, I did not do this. By like 9 o'clock at night, I was okay at it. But like the whole rest of the day, I was not great at this, right? It is a struggle. But this should be the direction of our lives, right? That we die to ourself, right, men? And we put our wife first, you sacrificially, unconditionally love her as Christ sacrificially and unconditionally loved you. You're continuing to die to yourself. It is not, hey, serve me. It's you serve your wife. Christ was a servant to us. He's the one that on the night that he was betrayed on that Last Supper, he puts a towel around himself and he washes the feet of the disciples. And the disciples are like, you shouldn't do that. He's like, no, I need to do this because you need to understand that leadership is about servanthood. And so, men, if you're going to be a leader in your home, it's about serving your wife, dying to self, right? Be that kind of leader. Let me just give you like a really practical way for you to do that, okay? If your marriage is struggling, and right now I know I'm talking about half the married people in here. If your marriage is struggling, men, do not sit around and wait for your wife to figure it all out. Do not sit around and wait for your wife to get the counselor, the wife to get the book, the wife to make up with the solution. And like, no, you take the lead in that. Right? You care enough. You be the leader. You start figuring something. And let us help you in that, okay? So Pastor Randy Thomas, he does this thing. It's a 5-week intensive for those who want to enhance their marriage. We've been doing it for a while, but we haven't been announcing it because we just know it's going to overflow. But I'm going to announce it today, okay? We have one coming up here in a week, and it's this 5-week intensive. Men, if you're struggling, get online today, sign up for it. And if it gets full, sign up for the next one, okay? Don't just pout about it. Take the leadership, okay? Men, don't just wait for your wife to get it done. You get it done. So you die to self, right? And then the other thing is, men, you need to be caring for, protecting, and caring for the spiritual development of your wife. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 26 and 27. Chapter 5, verse 26 says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands, this is how you are to love your wife. Deeply caring for her, deeply protecting her, deeply wanting her to grow in the Lord and be holy. This is how we are to love our wives. And so men, you need to spiritually lead the home. And by the way, I've never met a woman who is being truly loved in this way by her husband who has a problem really submitting to his authority. I'm sure that woman exists. I've just never met her. I know in the shadow of Genesis chapter 3, I'm sure it happens, but I've never met that woman yet. The woman who's truly loved in that way by her husband, she's willing to submit to his authority. And so men, here, you need to be the spiritual leader in your home. And if you're like, dude, I have no idea how to do that. How about this? Start with just Sundays, right? Like, don't be the dude that your wife has to drag you to church, right? And the kids are like, well, but we know dad doesn't really want to go, but mom drags him here. No. Dude, you be the leader. You get up early. You make sure everybody's ready. You be cheerful. Let your family see that you're excited about you leading them to church. And when you get here, you take the leadership and the next steps. Don't let it be like your wife is the cheerful giver and you're like holding it back. No, you take the lead in being a cheerful giver. When we're talking about next steps, about going to, well, I don't know what it is for you, go to core class or get in a group or start serving together as husband and wife. You take the leadership in that. You need to be the spiritual leader in your home. Don't just sit back and wait for your wife to do that. Okay, we could go on and on and on, but I want to get to the rest of it here. So women, you're called to submit to the authority of your husband. He's been given that authority by God. And listen, if you're a single mom right now, you obviously can't do that. And I'm not going to, you have an incredibly difficult job. I get tired even thinking about it. It's hard enough for me just being, you know, filling my role. I can't imagine being a single mom trying to do both those things. My only advice I can give to you is just like, take a nap when you, I don't know, just sleep when you can. But for married couples, right, like wives, submit to the authority of your husband. Recognize, listen, I know that there's something within that you want to rebel against that because it's part of our sinful flesh. God has a good design. Submitting to the authority of your husband is good for you. And listen, submission to authority does not mean that you become a doormat to him, that you let yourself be abused by him, that you let yourself be led into sin by him. You letting bad behavior continue is not being a good helper to him. And I think John Piper gives the best biblical definition of submission that I've ever heard. And so I'm just going to read for you John Piper's definition of submission for the role of the wife. He says, the basic meaning of submission is recognize and honor the responsibility of your husband to supply and protect, to supply your protection and sustenance. Be disposed to yield to his authority in Christ and be inclined to follow his leadership. The reason I say a disposition to yield and an inclination to follow is that this little phrase, as to the Lord in verse 22, limits the scope of submission. No wife should replace the authority of Christ with the authority of her husband. She cannot yield or follow her husband into sin. But even where a Christian wife may have to stand with Christ against the sinful will of her husband, she can still have a spirit of submission. She can still show by her attitude that she does not like resisting his will and that she longs for him to forsake sin and lead in righteousness so that her disposition to honor him as head can again produce harmony. That's good stuff right there. I'm not a woman, right? So this is hard for me to speak about. Let me just say this. If you struggle with this, there's a great book in 6-8 Books called Surviving Spiritual Mismatch by Lee Strobel. And you can go there and you can pick up that book and it'll be a real help to you. Surviving Spiritual Mismatch. If you forget the name of the book, just go to 6-8 Books and talk to Cindy and go, that book that Mark talked about, she'll know what you're talking about, okay? I'd recommend you get that. It's very, very, very helpful. So there's order and authority within the home, right? So the husband, he submits to the authority of Christ. And the wife, she submits to the authority of her husband and also to Christ above her husband. And then the parents have the authority over the children. The children submit to, the children are to obey their parents, right? So back into Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So parents, listen, it's your responsibility. It's right for you to have your children submit to your authority. And let me just say this. If you're inconsistent with your discipline and you don't really want to discipline your kids and you try to be that real soft and you're trying to be like best friends with your kid rather than authority over your child and you don't discipline that kid, then you are not helping them. You are robbing them of blessing because that child is blessed when he honors or she honors and obeys you. And if you don't encourage that, you're actually robbing them of blessing and you're not helping them because that kid grows up that nobody wants to give a job to. That girl grows up and becomes somebody that nobody wants to marry or stay married to, right? It's right and it's good for you to exercise your loving authority over your children consistently. And in so doing, you're encouraging them to be blessed as they honor and obey you. And fathers specifically, do not consider the spiritual development of your children the responsibility of mom, right? There's way too much of that going around. Like, I make the money and I do my thing and then you take spiritual responsibility for the kids, mom. That's not the biblical design. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up. They're still speaking to fathers. Fathers, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, you need to be involved in the spiritual development of your kids. And think about it. What message do you send when you show up at all their soccer games? But when it comes to their spiritual development, whether it's Kids Own Live or something else that's going on spiritually, you're not there. What you're telling your child, you're teaching your child, is that their soccer is more important than their soul. And that's just wrong. Men, you need to be a spiritual leader for your kids. And let me just give you a practical way of doing that, right? Like Mike talked about Kids Zone Live, and we're constantly trying to create arenas here where parents and kids can worship together because we want to come alongside parents, not replace parents in the spiritual development of their children. So Kids Zone Live is next weekend. We do it once a month, next weekend in the 10:30 hour. And rather than saying, child and mom, you go to that, you go and you get excited about it and you show your child that you deeply care about the spiritual nourishment of your child. One of the things we did when our kids were growing up, and I did a lot of things wrong, but I was pretty involved and with their spiritual development. And we used to read from the Picture Bible. And I was a new believer when our kids were little. I was a brand new believer, right? And so we had this thing called a Picture Bible. You can pick one up in Mission Micah 6:8 or 6:8 books. But I would read through the Picture Bible, which is just basically kind of like cartoon pictures of the Bible and the stories that go along with it. And for me, it was awesome because I was a new believer and I learned all kinds of things I didn't know. Like Moses was ripped. I don't know like what gym he went to, but he was ripped, right? So you like just like take the time. Don't like at night, don't just like, mom, you put the kids to bed. But dad, you sit down on that bed with your kid and you open up the Picture Bible and you start reading stories to your kid, and your kid sees that you care about their spiritual development. So important, right? So here's the thing, right? Moms, dads, husbands, wives, kids, God has a design for the family. He has a design in everything that he makes. And in everything that he makes, he has a clear order and authority. And when we submit to it, it goes well for us. And when we don't submit to it, it doesn't go well. So I want to encourage you, as much as our culture wants to resist God's design for the family, as much as maybe you want to resist God's design for your family, for your own good, submit to his design. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have blessed us so deeply. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. I'm thankful, Father, for the submission even within the Godhead, that Jesus would submit to the Father and willingly go to that cross. Father, may we not be so arrogant that we think it's right for Jesus to submit, but we don't have to. God, let us be comfortable with the point at which you've called us to submit. And even when it's difficult, Father, would you have us continue to just follow your design? Lord, I pray for husbands and wives. I pray for men here in this place to stop pushing off their responsibility of leadership, but to step up and be the men God called them to be. Pray for women who are in difficult situations and trying to figure out what does submission look like in their situation, that you would guide them by your Spirit. The women in this place would willingly embrace God's design for the family. God, I pray for parents, that parents would lovingly exercise their authority above their children and call them to obey and for the children and the good of their children, that fathers would be involved in the spiritual development of their children. God, would you just help us be a people that submit to your good design for the family? And we ask this and pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Mission 6-8 podcast. Follow us at twitter.com/mission68 and facebook.com/mission68. Mission Community Church. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly.